This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Layla Mutin, your host. Thank you for joining me. If you have any questions for me that you'd like to hear me answer on this podcast or discuss any topics of interest, you can email me to radioprogram@AOL.com, radioprogram@AOL.com. You can also submit your questions there for our weekly Q&A with Layla that Dr. Hoffman and I do. Time flies when you're having fun, often on that podcast. So we appreciate your questions. You can send them to radioprogram@AOL.com. Today I read an article that I said, finally, vindication. Vindication. What are you talking about, Layla, you may ask? Hemoglobin A1C misses many cases of diabetes. Let me explain. Hemoglobin A1C is a blood test that's a marker of average blood sugar over a period of about 12 weeks, 3 months. So the hemoglobin A1C test, according to this, misses many cases of diabetes. And this is very interesting because, you know, the gold standard for really seeing what's really happening with blood sugar and insulin levels is the oral glucose tolerance test. We've been talking about this for years. And even back in Dr. Atkins' day, it was the 5-hour glucose tolerance test that was the gold standard. In Dr. Hoffman's earlier practice, the 5-hour glucose tolerance test, all of that, it's still the gold standard. And now here is some proof. You can't just rely on a single blood test. It has to be a glucose tolerance challenge. So the hemoglobin A1C blood test, used widely to diagnose diabetes, is highly unreliable. And by the way, let me just give you some ranges here. What's an optimal range, you may ask? What should my hemoglobin A1C be? Oh, 5.0? If you reach 5.6, 5.7, you are entering the house of pre-diabetes. And if your range goes to, if your hemoglobin A1C goes to 6.4, we call that type 2 diabetes. Dr. Hoffman calls it at 6.2, not 6.4. I mean, you're right there. The very good news is we can reverse this. That's what we do on a daily basis. So let me get back to this. Hemoglobin A1C misses many cases of diabetes. The hemoglobin A1C blood test, used widely to diagnose diabetes, is highly unreliable, with a significant tendency to miss cases of diabetes and overestimate the prevalence of normal glucose tolerance, according to new research. And why is that? It's overestimating the prevalence of normal glucose tolerance because hemoglobin A1C is an average. So what's involved in an average? All the numbers, including the extreme outliers of lows and highs, right? The hemoglobin A1C test is highly unreliable for this reason. It is an average marker. This blood test is still useful. Don't get me wrong. I still find it to be a useful blood test, but it doesn't tell the whole story. So because this average number includes extreme lows and extreme highs in blood sugar, this is why it may miss cases of diabetes and overestimate the prevalence of normal glucose tolerance. That's why I like this other test called the GlycoMark, because the GlycoMark test, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later, shows the variability, whether it's wide swinging variability with blood sugar or less. That's an important number too. So clinicians should not rely solely on the hemoglobin A1C test, and perhaps for high-risk patients should pursue oral glucose tolerance tests to further elucidate a diagnosis. And this was during a press briefing at the Endocrine Society's annual meeting in New Orleans, where the findings were presented March 23rd. And this is where I say, ladies and gentlemen, vindication, because this has been practiced for as much as 30 years in the field of complementary medicine, in the field of integrative medicine. And finally, the Endocrine Society's finally come upon this conclusion. So, the Endocrine Society and their colleagues analyzed data from 9,000 adults from the 2005 to 2014 National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey who did not have a diagnosis of diabetes. And their results indicate that when compared to people who took the glucose tolerance test, hemoglobin A1C will overdiagnose glucose tolerance by 42%. That's almost half. And underdiagnose diabetes in 73% of adults. These individuals would miss the opportunity for early intervention. Imagine that. The hemoglobin A1C test, when compared to the glucose tolerance test, which we've said forever is the gold standard, will overdiagnose glucose tolerance, meaning normal glucose levels, by 42%. And it will underdiagnose diabetes. It will miss diabetes in 73% of adults. So, overall, for diagnosing diabetes, hemoglobin A1C had a sensitivity of 27% and a specificity of 99%. For determining normal glucose tolerance, the test had a sensitivity of 85% and specificity of about 44%. However, accuracy of hemoglobin A1C varied across races and ethnicity. It had the highest sensitivity for diagnosing diabetes in non-Hispanic blacks, followed by Mexican Americans and non-Hispanic whites. We do know that ethnicity plays a role to some degree in our biochemical workup and how we respond to things. Hemoglobin A1C has become the primary method of screening and diagnosing diabetes. The American Diabetes Association guidelines do have statements regarding the use of oral glucose tolerance tests and not relying solely on the A1C. Our study shows that the clinician shouldn't rely only on the A1C. In my practice, honestly, we like the hemoglobin A1C, but not on its own. We love the oral glucose tolerance test, but that glucose tolerance test also needs to measure insulin levels, not just glucose, because the picture of how much insulin is produced, how much insulin is secreted by the pancreas, tells a much bigger story, really paints the picture for us. So, a professor of medicine and endocrinology in New York City at Mount Sinai, who wasn't involved in the study, said the data are concerning because though it is shown that A1C can be unreliable in individuals because many factors can cause false readings, which were all excluded in the original studies, and the range of average blood sugar between different A1Cs overlaps significantly, it is thought to be useful on a population scale. And a lot of these things are looked on at population scales. We also want to, you know, it's more about individual biochemistry than anything. So just using this one test is not completely reliable. What needs to be determined after this data is whether this population is a group who have a positive GTT and are controlling their sugars with diet alone, or is the A1C also underestimating their overall control? Even if they are controlling their sugars, this kind of data may help explain the relatively high rates of microvascular complications we find in people with prediabetes or on diagnosis of diabetes. And this is really where I find that the GlycoMark blood test comes in handy, because it shows the variability of the blood sugars. How tightly are you controlling your blood sugar? This is a very important question. You want that range to be very, very, very narrow. So, some of the scientists say that they're glad that the researchers tried to delve into which populations may be most affected. Performing an oral glucose tolerance test on a population scale for screening is difficult. Well, we tend to disagree with that. It shouldn't be difficult. You know, the doctor needs to write a prescription for an oral glucose tolerance test and then go have it done. Yeah, you're going to be there for 3 to 5 hours in the lab, but it's wholly worth it. And we also have to specify, practitioners need to specify when they order the glucose tolerance test to test insulin levels too at fasting and at hours 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. But many of these oral glucose tolerance tests, they don't go past 2 to 3 hours, which is unfortunate, because when you go all the way to 4 or 5 hours, it really shows that variability if there is any unstable blood sugar present, if there is hypoglycemia present. This is important. And hypoglycemia isn't the opposite of diabetes, because hypoglycemia means low blood sugar. It's hypoglycemia that precedes diabetes, because it is, in essence, unstable blood sugar. Your blood sugar shouldn't be flying high after a carb-rich meal and then crashing and burning. That is hypoglycemia right there. Anyway, they say, according to this article, performing oral glucose tolerance tests on a population scale for screening is difficult. So if we could know which groups are at higher risk and more likely to have a false hemoglobin A1C, then it may help facilitate an algorithmic approach to more accurate diagnosis, which could include a stepwise approach or also include professional glucose sensor use to also gather how well sugars are controlled at baseline. Okay, so people who would likely have a false A1C. If you have iron deficiency anemia, it may show a higher A1C. Anemia can cause that to happen to blood sugar. If you are a woman with PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, you are likely to have a higher A1C because insulin resistance is a hallmark of PCOS. PCOS is also implicated in many cases of infertility. So it's very important to test for blood sugars. Again, and the source of this is the Endocrine Society annual meeting. It was held in New Orleans, and these results were released on March 23rd. So they're finding that the A1C misses many cases of diabetes, may over-diagnose normal glucose by as much as 42%. I find that scary. And it's not enough. And I'll tell you something else that Dr. Hoffman and I have both observed over the last, 10, 15 years. We will do both a hemoglobin A1C test on a patient, and we will also send them for a glucose tolerance test. And what we find is an impaired fasting glucose on a glucose tolerance test, too much insulin, all of that kind of thing, right? All indicators of impaired glucose tolerance, hyperinsulinism, features of metabolic syndrome or prediabetes. Yet, that same patient will have a hemoglobin A1C test come back at, 5.3, 5.4. Which would indicate a normal range. A normal range. Because remember, the borderline for prediabetes is about 5.6, 5.7. So if your hemoglobin A1C is 5.3, 5.4, that would be normal. So if that's the only test your doctor did and said, you're fine, go home. Yeah, but you know, this is the reason that the oral glucose tolerance test is the gold standard and why it should remain the gold standard, and that mainstream medicine needs to step it up and send more people for glucose tolerance tests. The GTT is critical, but the GTT also needs to do insulin levels along with fasting glucose. Glucose at 1.5, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. You also need to do a fasting insulin and an insulin at 1.5 hours, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. This is important to get a true picture. That example I just gave you of a normal hemoglobin A1C of, say, 5.3, 5.4, I'm using this as a case model for you now. That glucose tolerance test may show impaired fasting glucose, it may show hyperinsulinism. After all, it's all that insulin that's attempting to bring that blood sugar back to normal on an oral glucose tolerance test, which then we're seeing as normal on the hemoglobin A1C. Do you see the correlation I'm trying to make between the two tests? And while one paints a much more intricate picture, the GTT, the hemoglobin A1C is reflecting that all this hyper secretion of insulin on that GTT is what's giving a more normal hemoglobin A1C reading. This is why we can't solely rely on the hemoglobin A1C. That hemoglobin A1C needs to be performed along with an oral glucose tolerance test, which is a gold standard, and the GlycoMark. I love all three tests for that, to get the real picture of what's going on with a person's blood sugar, be it prediabetes, metabolic syndrome, hypoglycemia, frank, overt, type 2 diabetes, all of that. This is important. And the Endocrine Society has finally determined that hemoglobin A1C is not enough. And they compared it to the gold standard, which is the glucose tolerance test. Vindication, ladies and gentlemen. Yay. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.